various forms that they had, in fact, here at Loyola. Can we let Tom have a little bit of time, please?
But I need to actually explain myself.
You can, after Tom.
Okay, there's several things here. First of all, I'll start with the Dan Coughlin report, because she read that. You'll note that in number one, that it asks that management staff look forward to the formation of a representative program council as a major priority. And I want to remind the lab that it's really under our auspices that we should be doing this, and we have to really get in gear.
That has not been decided. That's the purpose of this meeting toward the end of the meeting.
All right. But I'm referring to it, that there is no time period and it hasn't been decided. Okay. But I do appreciate the fact that there are several people out there that are trying to get the PC going, and I just wanted you to know that. In number three, KPFK management will issue written personnel policies and procedures. The problem is that there's no time period on here. And it is essential, I think time is of the essence. We are now 4 months into this new administration, and we need to have it. Now, it must be mentioned that, you know, it's been a period of turmoil, et cetera, and it's been very difficult. We've had a couple of fundraisers, et cetera, so it hasn't been easy. But what I'm attempting to do is trying to get some timeline on these things. So when do we think that these personnel policies and procedures will be put in place? I would think in a week, so I'm trying to get as much information as I can.
Okay, don't try and kill me. 2 weeks by my deadline would be at least by the latest the 15th, simply because there's so many other things, you know, the transmitter problem that's going on, but I would say the 15th. The latest is 15 for implementation.
Okay. And also because there has to be some process to that.
Right. And then that last sentence in under three, and according that a review of the general manager's performance will be undertaken in a timely manner welcoming input, and according to normal Pacifica procedures. Unfortunately, we have not seen those procedures. And will those be forthcoming from Dan? Because we don't have any normal Pacifica procedures yet.
The lab should request that from Dan. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then in number six, KPFK management will develop a plan specifying how communication between KPFK management and each of the station constituencies will occur on an ongoing basis. And again, I ask, when we think that might be, you think in the same time frame?
The one for communication within the station will be available at this coming Wednesday staff meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably within the next week, I would say before the 15th, we should have something available in terms of communication with listeners, lab, interaction. We've already started with one by saying that I would be giving information to the lab prior to changes taking place, which started, I did that yesterday, so that everybody's updated.
On the website? Will you put this information on the website?
Oh, yes, and the letter from Dan also, I will place it on the website.
Yes, we have a letter from Dan on July 14th, and it's very specific. It says, prior to initiating any hiring process for any permanent position, including the posting of job announcements, the lab shall be notified of the plan to post the job and be provided with the job description. And I'm happy to see that you're going to be doing that.
Well, that has also been happening.
Yeah.
It's been happening at all of, at the executive sessions and at other meetings.
No, it has not been happening. Since I've been on the lab, we didn't know of changes.
No, we're talking about the hiring. We're doing
about it.
We're not. No. We're doing about the hiring changes. We can go back to the minutes and we can, you know, check that out. But.
And let me just also, with regards to programming changes, yes, we can work on the broader issues and vision and objectives of programming with the program council, but then there's also day-to-day issues that need to be addressed where you sometimes need to make changes, such as, you know, when we had the Chicano moratorium, we did a special program on that. When we have 9/11, we do a special program on that. And then people get preempted. Those decisions are made by management. depending on what the situation is and what's going on.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I mean, obviously emergencies or you know, there's going to be a riot or something and we want to be there. I have no problem with that. But I now draw your attention to paragraph 4 in that July 14th letter, and it says, any significant policy decisions of the station, policies regarding hiring or training initiatives, policies regarding any major changes in programming format, must be announced to the lab enough in advance of their implementation that there is sufficient opportunity for community input to the lab at a regular scheduled meeting of the lab, and for the lab to summarize this input along with its own. Now, that means that we need an opportunity, and if it's not an emergency, and you're going to make a major programming change, that we should know about it beforehand, that the listener sponsors that are sitting out there have an opportunity to know it and comment on it, and then we can report back to management of our thoughts. That does take some time, and we cannot have it just simply letting us know late.
No, well, that's what the resolution is for. That's why we have this resolution from management. It's that, particularly with the program council now coming up, that will resolve a lot of issues where there is enough notification. In terms of hiring practices, we all know which positions are being hired for, unless there's new openings, you know, that will be discussed. But yes, I agree with what you say.
Okay, Farah, your clarification, and then we need to move on, and the food is ready.
Well, the reason I'm asking this is because the problem so far has been that a lot of changes take place at the station. That, as Don White said, I have personally learned about it a lot later. As a listener, I don't even care, you know, as a local advisory board member. And it's been arbitrary, changes happen, and it's no, for no good reason, such as, for example, I never realized why John Wiener was, his program was expanded. Was there a good reason? Why was not the lab consulted? You know, why these changes just happen? And that's just only one small example. And for that matter, I feel like it's beyond what's written in the policies. For the sake of repeating myself for 1,000 times, it's for what we morally recognize as the way it should have been. And I, from what I understand, when Eva was hired, she said, at least in a meeting that was public before we hired everybody, the three people who came, that she recognizes this need. But I have not seen her adhere to that recognition, and I'm pretty much critical of that. And I feel like if this letter from Dan Coughlin is accepted, fine, but I hope that even beyond that letter, this issue be addressed by Eva, our general manager, especially the issue of major changes at this station that have, you know, at times been to the least unreasonable, without any sort of explanation for the listeners and the lab, as far as I know.
Okay, the other program issues that was not mentioned was, I just want to mention something that we did not bring up, is Marcus Lopez's program is also back on the airwaves, is also American Indian Airways. And I'm like the Guatemalan group thanking, you know, for that this morning. They were so excited about it when I ran into them at the Peace Center. But that also came out of a collective of Native Americans who are working, and as well was supported by the Mayan collectives as well.
Okay, Eva?
And then we're going to adjourn for
Peace. Farah's response is I hear your concerns, and yes, the resolution that's on the table came from management. And yes, I agree that if there's a perception or understanding that decisions are arbitrary, then obviously that perception needs to be changed, and that could be done by providing the lab and the listeners with full knowledge of whatever changes we want to make. So I hear you and I acknowledge what you say. And, you know, we'll do whatever we can from outside of management to consult, to advise. I think it's been unfair that the lab received notification or information on websites or outside instead of from the station. So thank you.
Okay, I think we're ready for a short break for whatever.
I object to any such break. We got work to do. We didn't come here to eat. I'm serious. You know, I mean, this is a lot of time. We got a lot of work to do.
You know, I actually agree with that. But can't we just simply get food and come right back here and continue the meeting? I can talk with my mom.
This was originally proposed as a bathroom break as well, but we have found from previous meetings that people are a little bit nicer and more patient and last through the process longer. If they have a little something to eat, we're not talking about an hour lunch break here. We're just talking a few minutes. Everybody just have enough time to get your plate and come back and sit down, and we'll continue the meeting.
5 minutes?
Hopefully 15 minutes at 2 o'clock. Use the restrooms. Get your drink, get your food, and sit down. How's that?
I personally need to go to the bathroom. Yeah. That's very easy for everyone else to get a snack.
Yeah. No added meetings on that.
Suggested donation, no one turned away, etc. Okay.
Yeah.
Stay within the time guidelines. It's possible sometimes things go a little quicker. you know, then they're on the schedule. That does happen once in a while. And we have dealt with a lot of the contentious stuff, you know, about even changing things without consulting people and things like that. To a certain degree.
He's had that happen, though, several times.
I guess in a way it's part of what the problem is, and so if that happens, I mean, I think it's really important, you know, to say things and to present to the group. I think it's really important, and that's why I was pushing for it. I didn't know they have food.
What?
I didn't know they have food. That
was that?
Peanut butter. Almond butter, actually. And I thought, well,
I can't eat any of that.
I don't want to waste this food, guys. I don't know. I don't know. I'll check. I don't know. I'm disappointed. One thing I do know, though, that she was never, she was never ex officio. That's the wrong term. Ex officio means that you used to be on the board in some official point, in some official position, and then you're on there kind of in honor of that. She was on the board. She was on the board as a staff member. First, ex officio means something different. I had used that term. No, it doesn't mean that. I thought it did too, and I was using the term like that, and I was corrected several times. This means you're a non-voting member. Ex officio means you used to be president, but you used to be something. And because of that official office you had, you kept on the board that way. That's the one answer I can give you, and I'll get the other one. On the agenda. I can look at my agenda and tell you. I would say that we have half an hour, about 35 or 45 minutes of more stuff before we have public comment. I mean, the things we've done already, which have been taking 80 minutes, we're scheduled to take like no minutes. So we're very much behind.
The rationale
of having people belong was used as a way
to keep the community.
Used as a way to keep the community from it. I think there should be opportunities for community comment on everybody. No, that may be something we need to do, and I'm taking that as important. It may be something important to do, and we may do that, but you might, never mind, I think I won't say that. One more minute to 2:00.
Thank you.
2 o'clock, and we agreed to reconvene at 2 o'clock. Will the lab members please come back, and people find their seats? Okay, if we can all find our way back to our seats, we can keep moving.
Where is the agenda?
So, Tom Camarello, wherever you are, you're next on the agenda for your proposal.
Might be in the men's room.
Tom Camarello?
We should go to a different agenda item to see.
We have some exciting proposals beyond that. We'll move on to the bylaw convention proposal, and that would be Leslie Radford. Calling Leslie Radford or Tom Camarella. Either one could get us started here. Tom Camarella?
I'm right here.
Okay. So, Tom Camarella's proposal. Process motion.
Yeah. Okay, we have
7 minutes. Start the timer.
We have 7 quick motions.
Everyone, if you can please be quiet.
This has been sent to everyone. We've had opportunity to comment and make suggestions. The first one is that we should have regular meeting schedule as mandated by law. And by that, I do not mean it has to be every third Wednesday, because some people have conflicts. But I do want it to be over a 6-month period. We'll have the first meeting on a Monday night. The next month, we'll have it on a Tuesday night. The third month, we'll have it on a Wednesday. So we'll go through the week so that everybody has an opportunity to get it hit. And the last one will be on a Saturday, on the weekend, so that everybody gets a shot at it. You can plan for it in your calendar. So I'd like to propose that for the first one. Can we vote on it quickly?
No.
No. Discussion?
Yes. Yeah, I would object to that. I think that we should, at each meeting, set the next meeting. I've been in the lab now for over 2 years. I don't think I've missed the lab meeting yet. I had to miss a couple of executive sessions because of prior commitments and so forth, but I've not missed a regularly scheduled lab meeting so far, as far as I can tell. I think that the person committed to being on the lab can attend. We need to make sure. And if we do it every month, it's a different day of the week, then I would have had to miss a lot of meetings. I've got regular meetings at an organization. I think we should continue to do it the way we have. I don't know whether it's broken or not.
Well, I think it's important for the listener sponsors also to have a shot at it.
My only objection is that you're not recommending anyway that we set them that far in advance. But the rotation, for example, this meeting, or what happened as a result of the bylaws, where I am now proposing a 2-day lab meeting, that would, and what if that next meeting was supposed to have fallen on a Wednesday? Then that would preclude us from considering something more extensively, and also in terms of the venue. That's my only consideration. I do think that our goal should be regular meetings, at the minimum to announce them. At the existing lab meeting, for example, today I'm going to propose announcing the next 2 meetings to subsequent meetings, and I really think that that is the sufficient notification, and I think that we should make an effort to rotate the days. That much I absolutely do agree with. But to put a calendar, what I have found is that when you cancel a meeting, earlier this year we had to cancel a meeting because of lack of quorum, etc.
that had already been announced for here, for Loyola. And it's far, you get the listeners are far angrier when they show up to a site and they didn't hear about the cancellation of the meeting than to take the time to get some consensus before formulating that.
Well,
that
then my question becomes this, that the meeting that was not set by the full lab, and that's why the full lab couldn't come and couldn't have a quorum. So that was a problem. That's why I want it set by the full lab. That's important. Number two, nothing in this motion precludes you from having as many special meetings as you want and as many days as you want. All this says is that if there's a regular schedule for the listener sponsors and the lab members, so you can put it in your calendar, and you know when times come up, you can block that out. That's all it is. I'd like to call.
Well, let's just take a vote. All those in favor of that item as Tom has articulated it without modification, raise your hand.
I ask the chair to restate the motion in specific.
Okay, I'll ask Tom to restate it.
A regular meeting scheduled as mandated by law. And I already explained that we would have rotating days for those regular meetings.
So in 1 month, the Monday, the next month, Tuesday, and so forth?
That kind of thing, yes.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
Marty. What I've seen in the law is that we're required to give notice of meetings, not to have, and to have meetings at a regular period, but not
the
regular meeting schedule.
Regular meetings, yes.
We are having regular.
And in one of the government things that I read, it did say every third Wednesday as an example. But I'm willing to, you know, have it moved through the week so that everyone gets a shot at it. Can we please take the vote?
Okay, can we vote on that? All in favor? One, two, three, four. All opposed? One.
You're the chair, you can't vote.
I am voting.
The chair votes.
Of course I vote.
Whatever the chair's vote will make a difference in the outcome.
That's right.
Wait.
Okay. Wait,
Tie?
Tie.
Wait, I didn't vote. Okay, abstention?
Yeah, please.
If Lydia's vote causes a tie vote and the chair's vote changes the outcome, she's entitled to vote in that situation. Robert Rules said in general the chair should not vote unless their casting of the vote makes a difference in the outcome. So she
I recommend that we not vote until after we have a public comment. Because it's a deciding vote, and it does you have used the listeners as part of the reason for setting the meeting. So let's hear from them during public comment. People who want to comment on that, again, please sign up.
We can take a 10-second straw vote right now. How many would like to have regular meetings? Please raise your hand.
As he defined it.
Okay. All those who don't want regular meetings. All right, I'd like reasonable time on comments. Sometimes we have a tendency to go on, and I'd like to make a limit of approximately 2 minutes.
This is for lab members?
This is for lab members. This could be changed to 90 seconds or to 3 minutes, but some kind of limit. So that we don't go on and on.
And this is beyond what's already been allotted for that item, right?
No. I mean, unless a person is giving a special report or something.
Well, the way that we're doing it right now is that when the whole lab is primarily by email or other means, when we determine, when we give the general manager 5 minutes or Tom Camarillo 7 minutes, you're saying that those should be 2 minutes?
Yes, I'm not going to speak for that long.
Okay.
3 minutes, whatever you decide. I'm just saying we should have some kind of time limit so people don't go on and on and on.
I mean, I would support it for no more than 2 minutes on the comments by lab members to that item, so that once the general manager has presented for 5 minutes, that the individual lab members do not exceed, and I would say either 90 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes, but not for, you know, they shouldn't be giving entire presentations, they should be making comments to that. I think that's good, but I don't think you've heard the actual report time, because we're all...
I didn't say, I said except.
That's time. Yep.
And can I make a friendly amendment here? Can we issue refrigerator magnets and all put this on the refrigerator and let it go at that and go on with something this meeting needs to get done?
Thank you.
Yeah. What color magnets?
My friendly amendment.
Will that be made? They have to be affordable.
You know something, we're really, honestly, God, trying to make this accessible and reasonable to everyone out there.
Yeah.
You know, I know going through minutes is a pain in the butt, but you folks want them on the web, don't you? So we got to make sure that they're correct minutes and that they're out there for you. You want to make sure that you know when these meetings are so that you can come to them. You don't want to hear people harangue for 4, 5, or 6 minutes.
Okay,
but
go on and on.
Accessible to you.
Okay, we got the point. John?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we have a building consensus, and I think that Tom will accept this. Limiting our comments to 2 minutes, but not limiting agenda reports to 2 minutes.
And I already said that.
That's right. So why don't we vote on that, because I think there's consensus all along.
So it's only on the 2 minutes for that which has not been allotted for in terms of time in terms of the agenda items. Is that correct? Okay. So all in favor of that? Unanimously?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
The next one is all meetings should be scheduled.
One extension? Oh, I'm sorry. One extension.
Excuse me.
We need
all meetings should be scheduled at the last meeting.
Okay, wait. We need more time for this agenda item. We have already exceeded the allotted 7 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Any objections to allotting more time? How much more time?
Another 6 minutes. We're going quickly through.
Five.
All meetings should be scheduled at the lab meeting so we can be involved in setting meeting dates. In other words, we all need to be involved in setting dates. Any problem?
No.
So moved.
Second.
Vote. All in favor? Any opposed?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Abstain. Okay. How many more items are there? Because we now have
four,
our mediator has to leave. What?
Four
more?
Four very quickly.
Okay. Wait, then I would, if I may propose, Fred Kahane has made a special effort to appear here at our request today. He is a mediator who has been assisting staff, management, and now lab. And he needs to leave. He did not go on this long. We thought he would be sooner on the agenda. Does anyone have any objection for having him come and speak to us? I think it's extremely important for us to know what the process is that's taking place at the station in relation to personnel.
No objection. Bring him on.
Thank you, and then we'll continue. Fred?
You can probably use that microphone right there.
And Fred, if you can describe your process as well, or who you're with.
What it's like to see him. I'd like to see him. Well, you can see him the same way.
Good afternoon. My name is Fred Kahane.
Why don't you move the mic closer?
Is that better? Okay. I need to learn how to communicate. I've been asked to come help staff and management deal with some of the issues that are going on at the station right now. I'm an outside consultant and work as a psychotherapist, and I work in the area of large group conflict resolution. So a couple of the members, apparently who know me personally, started talking about what's been going on in PFK and Pacifica in general, and taking an interest and think that maybe we have something to offer that might help at least improve some of the environment and the atmosphere here. And so we proposed doing a workshop first at the staff level and starting to look at what's going on, see if we can't be able to create quite frankly, what I think is the Pacifica mission, which is to create a way to deal with conflict, to create more peace among ourselves. And that, quite frankly, I don't think that we can create this in the world until we begin to create it among ourselves. And so we've got some tools we would like to offer staff and management and anybody else who's interested, quite frankly. And it's really based on the concept of deep democracy. And deep democracy is really about making sure that all viewpoints get heard, all viewpoints get represented and respected, and that we set up some way to talk to one another where we can begin to work and move together in a way that isn't quite so conflictual. I've only been to 2-3 staff meetings so far. This is the first lab meeting I've gone to. And I see a tremendous amount of commitment, tremendous amount of fierce determination to try and make the world a better place. And I really love the passion that people have for doing what they're doing. And I think that if we only do that on an ideological level, we'll never get to where we want to go. And so we want to start, introducing new tools, and hopefully different tools, for how to relate to one another. And a lot of it is based on it's called process work. And it was started by a man named Arnold Mandel. And it's been around for about 20 years. It's been used all over the world in the Palestine situation, in Israel. It's been used in the Balkans. It's been used in Northern Ireland. It's been used in the inner cities in the United States here. And quite frankly, we go into places where sometimes people are ready to kill each other. And we want to find a way to get people to talk to one another. And sometimes that means being able to bring up issues more. And sometimes it really means being able to bring in the deeper feelings and the dreams and the spirit of what's going on inside of a group, not just the ideas. And so I think that's kind of a brief outline of what we want to do. We're going to have to come here and just tell you what we're proposing to do and if you guys have any ideas. Lydia?
Okay, do we want to allow about 5 minutes of public comment for this, spontaneous questions for him?
Yes.
I'm asking the lab, please.
Yes.
No objection to that? Okay, 5 minutes on the clock. Stand up at the mic.
Yeah, sir. I would just like to know, and by the way, I identify myself. I have been labeled by our IPMB member as the local rumor monger, who's pretty much laid the groundwork for all the distrust at the station in an email that was circulated broadly all over the internet. At any rate, I'd like to know, are you offering your services on a pro bono basis, or is this being paid for by Pacifica?
I get paid for my services, and we're offering it at a reduced rate to any nonprofits.
Can you tell us what we'll be paying, what the listener sponsors will be paying? Ballpark, rate, whatever?
$2,000 for a weekend. We're bringing in 3 facilitators. That's 2 3-hour sessions per day, roughly 2 days worth of work.
For this retreat?
Yes.
For the 2-day
yes.
retreat. Go ahead.
I'm Michael Pimentel from the KPFT Local Advisory Board. And, you know, we've had efforts at mediation bar conflicts over in Houston. And while the chair of the National Board had asked the Local Advisory Board to address these conflicts, and we were in the process of addressing those conflicts, the National Office sent in a mediator, someone they decided was gonna be handling our helping us do this process, whatever that means. But I've gotten a lot of valuable tools from her. I don't think that the situation has been improved in any way, and I don't think it's appropriate use of specific funds to be. I mean, it encourages this kind of us versus them mentality. I think that since you're from the area here, this man might be able to offer, obviously he's familiar with the situation, so he might be able to offer at least some help to alleviate your internal strife here.
Okay, thank you. Next, please.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that perhaps some of the problems at the stations and our tumultuous history is not so much due to the personalities involved in the conflict between them as it is a structural problem, that we have the difficulty of the signal itself, which creates a lot of contention. It's a very valuable resource, and it's desired by many people, and the manner in which access to the signal is decided perhaps is not carefully enough thought out. And so I would like you, I hope you will consider structural problems that may be at the source of these conflicts rather than focusing entirely on the personalities. Could you respond a little bit and say if you think that might be appropriate?
It's a great idea. And I think structural problems are not just necessarily about the broadcasting license and all of the ways that the labs were set up and the way that the staff relates to the amendment. I think there's also the internal structural problems that people bring to a conflict situation. And we're going to look at things like one-sidedness, whether people are able to get beyond their one-sidedness. Are they able to hear the other side? How do we talk to each other? Can we find a way to bring respect into the whole communication process? One of the things I hear in the background constantly is people are saying, we're not heard. We're not heard. And people are very passionate about that. And so are we. And we want to find a way to bring that out.
Next, please. How are we doing on time?
1:39.
Okay, and there are 90-second comments. Go ahead.
I believe that everybody here have some kind of maturity already. You know, we have to find a way how we can focus our attention in the problem that we have over here. And in that is where we have to put our energy, no fighting among us over here. You know, I know that the issues that we have very difficult sometimes, but we have to get together. We have a lot of pressure for all over. You know, even people who infiltrate us. Trying to get each other better, that we can fight each other over here, so we can not focus on the main problem that we have around there. Tomorrow we have that meeting over there. We have to calm down now, trying to get solution to the problem that we have. You know, we have to have that competition among us. We don't have to compete. Everybody's competing here. You know, we just follow exactly what the rule class over here wants, that we compete among each other and destroy each other. You know, it's not a competition of we only abort something. No, I want to do better. The other one, I want to look better. It's not that what we have. What we have to focus our attention is the reason that we have over here. What we meet with. We want a better world. We want to inform the people, you know, that this kind of mentality that we have competition among each other is the destruction. So we have to find a way. I don't think that really we need somebody who comes to advise. And we just only want to waste a little more time in the make this meeting longer. You know, we have to pay more money. You know, because I've been in union meeting. The people don't sometimes.
Okay, time. I'm sorry.
Get ready to fight.
Is this the time for the whole thing?
That's the
time. Okay, the 5 minutes are up. Does anybody wish to extend for 3 more people, but nobody else join the line?
Yes.
If they keep it short.
Okay, keep it to what? It's the same 90 seconds. We have to be consistent. Okay, 3 more people at 90 seconds, so.
There are 3 levels of conflict that I can see. The first is the group psychological and individual psychological level of conflict. The second is the structural level of conflict. And the third, and I think the deepest stratum, is political conflict. And that is what needs to be brought out in a very sharp way. There are very great differences between staff and management, as far as I can see, with respect to the political goals and how those are fulfilled in terms of the civil mission. The staff has some elements of the staff, I'll say that advisedly, have resisted race and nationality discussions, they've resisted bylaws programming, they've resisted having comments, unscreened listener comments, for example. They were up in arms because some people from one of the collectives actually dared to do a show that involved kids from East Los Angeles. So those kind of underlying things about what is up with the mission and what this purpose is. If we unite on purpose, if we unite on politics with purpose, the moral values that are embodied in Pacifica, we'll have a much stronger basis to form a bridge to resolve these structural questions and to resolve the group psychological questions. Thank you.
Oh, yes,
I'm
just I do work at the station as a volunteer at the reception desk, and as the problem I see is lack of inequality. and the corporate structure. And as long as we have corporate structure with corporate management and a board of directors, we're going to have the same structure and the same problems. It isn't people and it isn't personalities. It's how we treat people, who has access, and who doesn't. Thank you.
First place, I think bringing in professional mediators and tools is a really good idea, because the price, well, it seems kind of high in terms of out-of-pocket expenses, it's going to be a bargain if it saves 1 day of the lab's time. It'll be a bargain if it saves 1 day of the bylaws committee's time. I only wish the bylaws committee people could also attend either this or a similar thing. Because you're going to save us a whole friggin' 4 months on Sundays. So this is a really good idea. This is ultimately, it's like putting an oil filter in your car. It saves your engine. It's a bargain. It's even $6. So that's point one. Point two is, I second the previous speaker's remarks about the workplace democracy thing. The problem is our structure. The bylaws are going to address that, but the bylaws are not coming for a while. We're going to have to work at least till December before we get bylaws. So it would be useful if the people involved could just go ahead and try their beginner steps at workplace democracy now, and we should get an interim programming council and try it out. We don't need to wait for the national board to tell us. We should just try it out ourselves and do some experiments and get some lessons learned. Lessons learned doing new things would be more valuable than waiting for the national to figure out a one-size-fits-all philosophy.
John, we had said that those were the last three comments.
No, but I only have 30-second comment.
Okay, wait. Will the board give them 30 seconds? Okay, and that has to absolutely be the last
okay,
one.
Well, I just have one
okay,
comment.
John, you're saying that.
If I could just make one comment.
Yes.
When the chair said that no one is going to join the line, there may be people in here, women, people of color.
I just want
to make one comment. I'm going to join the consensus and allow John to speak, but I want us to be aware that everyone else in the room did not move to the microphone because the chair said that there was not going to be any speaker. I think, John, if you go ahead, you should be mindful that everyone else in the room accepted that, but now because you have joined us, you're at the microphone, you say it's only 30 seconds, we're going to go ahead. But right. In some ways, it's a violation process.
Okay. The mediator, I'm concerned that the mediation process take into account that decisions, an analysis about workplace democracy, workplace conditions, are absolutely appropriate and need to be addressed in terms of management. This has to be instituted in some sort of policy as well as a process that can be engaged anytime, not just in emergencies. Okay, but this should not in any way dictate the process of determining programming. Determining what programming is on the air is a separate issue. Separate issue completely, must not be mixed up.
Thank you, John.
By the way, I purposely did not follow the process because I don't agree with it.
Okay, and I also want to comment that Mr. Kahane was also invited not just to comment on the process between staff and management, but also some of us on the web thought it was a good idea for him to observe the listeners, staff, and so forth, and the lab, and how we interact, and we might make use of his services in the future as a lab or as a whole entity.
I have two short questions from the gentleman. Number one is, when were you hired? Number two, who hired you? By who I mean Pacifica National, the local, who?
Actually, I was invited in by a listener, Mark, who introduced me.
Can you speak in the mic?
I was brought in by a listener here who introduced me to Dave, who then brought me in, who introduced me to
Adelson.
And I talked to Joyce Snowden, who's in from National in a particular meeting, and they asked me what I thought should need to happen. So I made a proposal, I made a presentation.
And then I was invited into a staff meeting. I made the same presentation at the staff meeting, and well, the staff thought it was a good idea or not. And I was really quite surprised. There seemed to be a pretty positive response. And so the actual, I guess, will be carried out by management, the station, as far as signing a contract is concerned.
So when was that?
Staff meeting was about a week ago, and the first introduction was about 3 to 4 weeks ago. I've also met with some of the lab members who wanted to know more about what we do.
And with Dan Coughlin.
Some of the lab members here?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well, because we attended the SACMA, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Doug?
I guess back in August, I can understand where the staff, who's very interested in the professional sound, and I've gone head to head with him a few times in the last 6 months, would be very interested in professionals coming in and mediating. That $2,000 would replace Apple computers in the station.
Yeah.
And I could want them. Yeah. I'm really sorry that I get to participate in this decision months after it's accomplished.
Okay, and there is also a website for more information for those who would like to read more. And the website is www.processwork.org. And Fred, what is the difference between that and the A. Mendel net?
Arnold Mendel, a doctor, is the creator of Process Work, and he has his own separate website. He talks about the kind of world work we do inside the United States and outside. So either side would be a really good
thing. Okay, so the other website is www.aamindell.net, and if you didn't get that, you can see me after the meeting. But Fred, you want to comment or respond to anything?
I really appreciate the comments, and I would encourage if any of you have any more interest in it, if you feel comfortable just contacting me directly and giving your ideas and feedback. I love it.
What's your
email?
Point of clarification?
Oh, Sharon, sorry.
You had mentioned that he was going to observe the process in the lab and the listeners in the lab, et cetera. And is he going to do that?
He's been observing. Are you gonna? You want to comment on anything you've seen so far?
This is in process with what we call a hot spot. I'm observing a lot. I guess I don't know this group well enough to really say a whole lot. No, I love the craziness. There's an aliveness here, and there's a passion here that you don't find in a lot of other groups. I find a tension between the process that you guys have to try and establish to make sure everybody gets heard, and the amount of passion that there is to be heard. There's a tension between that because you got 3 hours to get something done, and some of the people in the room can fall asleep with the process, and others will leap up at the moment to get a chance to speak and to be heard, and I think that's really dynamic. And we want to find a way to encourage people to do that so that you don't just attack each other, but deal with the issues at hand.
Thank you. Okay, well, he has to leave now, so we're going to move back into the agenda. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your Saturday morning.
That is a courageous man.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Second. Second.
And now we will go back to Tom Camarella, and we will continue.
Point number four. Okay. I changed wording a bit. The agenda shall be made by all lab members having an opportunity to make submissions. I don't think we should have any problem with that.
What is the difference? If you can point out the difference, that would clarify it for us.
I put an extra word so it wouldn't be misunderstood. The agenda shall be made by all lab members having an opportunity to make submissions.
But what is the difference, I'm saying, between that and what is the process that is happening right now? When Marty...
I just want to reiterate it so that we all vote on it. We all know that that is the situation.
Oh. Okay, all those in favor, continue.
I would speak against the motion.
Why?
Well, because two reasons. First of all, it's not broken. And I think that creating rules where there have been no apparent need for them. I mean, it's impractical. It creates a process whereby, you know, we're saying basically that the lab chair has got no authority to make an agenda. I think that the lab chair...
Never said that.
I know
this
that.
Does
I'm
not
saying... Excuse me, Tom. I'm really saying that I can think of no instance in which an agenda item has been proposed to either this or the prior lab chair and it was not put on the agenda. So what's the problem? Why are we fixing something that's not broken?
I think for one thing, it would be helpful to the next board to articulate some things. We don't know where they're going to be on the page with certain things. And one of the things that we have, that I have, I think we've all experienced, is that there hasn't been enough in writing, actually. And so I don't see it as being harmful. I agree with you, it's just a continuation, and we shouldn't just keep coming up with things. On the other hand, I don't see where it could
hurt. Well, I'm sorry, that's a waste of time.
Okay, well, all those in favor of this motion?
Aye.
How many? Please take a vote. All those in favor of the agenda item motion by Tom?
Two.
One, two, three.
Six.
Okay, all those opposed? One.
Two.
Two.
Two opposed. All those abstaining? One. Don, what are you doing? Don?
No,
are you?
He
was four?
I'm four.
And one abstention.
All right, next one.
Okay.
Very quickly. The preliminary lab agenda should be on the web 72 hours prior to any open lab meeting. Of course, it will be subject to additions. During the 72 hours at the meeting itself, just like we did today.
Did you just add that?
Yes,
that's not on here. Okay. So that didn't get to
him
72 hours.
That was suggested by Don White.
Well, only because I do want to point out that I don't always respond to the internet. In fact, I bounce back more than I read. But actually, I have seen several people ask as late as yesterday, what's the agenda? So, I mean, I know that the spirit here is that we do publish them and we want to publish them. This is not an attack on any board member. It's not an attack on a process. It's more just like, if we can do it 72 hours prior to this meeting, then some of us will get phone calls and emails like, well, what's tomorrow's agenda? So, I mean, is it possible that we have a process for collective creation of the agenda and have the deadline be 72 hours before the meeting? And it doesn't mean that we can't alter it here. It doesn't mean that we can't alter it, but at least the listeners...
That's up to the lab. That's also up to the individual lab members. The input I have received from our extraordinary secretary here is that she doesn't hear back, as we discovered today, in relation to reading the minutes or anything, so she doesn't know if people are still reading the things to put it on the agenda. So if we can all be a little bit more cooperative, or even email back and say, I got it, but I'll just, you know, read it at the meeting, I don't have time, just so she does not have to spend so much time following up on the individual lab members to see if they got it, etc. She starts working on this like 3 weeks before.
Exactly, and I want to just take a moment to commend our board secretary. She's
absolutely
incredible. It is not Marty's problem that we have minutes that aren't approved and so on. The lab has to take responsibility. So I say, if Marty does her usual effective work and says to us, if you want an agenda 72 hours before the meeting, you've got to respond to me. I'm going to put a note on my...
And just so the lab will automatically know that whatever shape the agenda is in, that's how it's going to be posted. It will probably mean more revisions during meeting time. It'll take more time to get the agenda approval through the process. But it's a request that I think that we can honor.
Marty, do you agree?
Okay. So, go ahead. All in favor? Raise your hand.
All in favor?
One, two, three. What?
No.
No. Have you ever? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
I thought it was nine.
Nine? Again, once again.
Okay.
You want to see it again?
Yes.
Well, I thought I counted nine. She counted eight.
One, two, three, four.
He's not.
One, two, three, four, five.
6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
All opposed?
Abstain.
One abstention.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to number 6. Ladder members need to receive materials before the meeting so they can be read them and be prepared for the meeting, which is part of their duty as a lab member. And this is, again, not against any specific thing, but frequently, myself, I'll have something and I'll want to bring it the day. But it certainly is helpful if we know that we should get these materials out earlier.
72 hours, may I recommend 72 hours?
Okay.
Sending it out the night before, you know, you check your email in the morning.
Right.
The time
okay, 72 out. Hours. I'll be happy to make that for me.
Inconsistent, we can all remember that.
Any questions or problems?
Second, Ed. Okay. All in favor?
Questions?
Oh,
Dan Coughlin's paper here wouldn't qualify. Can we consider that at the next lab meeting?
It's not a voting item. It's just
Under the 72-hour rule, we can't look at Dan Coughlin's paper here.
Well, this is not an ex post facto law.
Oh, sorry.
This is a general rule. It's not
a recommendation.
Deal with emergencies and things that come up that you didn't have prior notice on. What we're trying to do is that...
Maybe we should say anything that we're going to vote on. Anything that is going to be up for a vote is also not as a point of information. Dan Coughlin's is not something that... His memo is not something we're voting on.
I'll accept that as a
well, it's from this point forward, isn't it?
Yeah, but beyond that, let's make it more specific. Anything that's up for vote. Okay.
All right.
All in favor?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And then
okay.
Against?
All opposed? All abstaining? Is that Doug? Are you abstaining?
I just feel like I'm sitting next to my mother.
Okay, but are you abstaining regardless? Doug is abstaining. Okay, next.
All right, number 7.
Norman takes exception to that.
Boy, he had a good look at mom, didn't he? Number 7. A reasonable effort must be made to make comments in a pro-con fashion. Too many times we've gone around the table and there's either only one person or no person against an issue, and we waste an incredible amount of time. So that's just kind of standard stuff. Any questions?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm finally going to weigh in on this. I find the conversations around the table very helpful to help me develop my ideas and see perspectives, and I think limiting it to pro-con is really limiting the discourse even before we get to a vote.
Okay.
We have to bear in mind that even if we go outside of just pro and con, that we are now limited to we're going to try to adhere to a limited amount of time. So hopefully that will address that. So
yeah.
Perhaps we can pull on that. But so can you want to rescind that or you want us to take a vote on it?
No problem.
Okay.
Let's not worry
okay.
about it. Number 5, lab members are expected to come on time. If they come into a meeting late, it is not fair to everyone else who has come on time to have to recap everything for the late member. A late comer should get together with a lab member later for the recap. I think that's only fair and just.
I move we accept. A second.
Okay.
Second. All in favor?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All opposed? Abstaining?
So I can sit in the gallery?
No.
I thank you very much.
Two.
I think this will greatly ease process and make these good meetings. And I want to thank everyone for their positive votes. Thank you.
Thank you. Bylaw convention proposal, Leslie Radford.
Hi. Actually, if you have no objection, I want to take these in reverse order. I want to start with the identity representation. this is the last page in the staple packet you have in front of you, Bob.
Last page of the staple
packet.
Last
page.
Staple
packet.
Last
page.
Okay, great. Thank you.
It's becoming apparent that the PNB in preparing the bylaws is heading in some directions that are perhaps not widely supported by listeners, and clearly in conflict with the KPMK Unity proposal that we've got in front of us. However, an extraordinary opportunity is developing. It comes to my attention through the hard work of people like Lydia and Raphael, and Deb Shafto that the Houston board has come together on points of unity very similar to ours. They have, in fact, instructed their board members to take these points of unity to the PNB and represent them. I have in front of us today a proposal to do the same thing here, to instruct our representative, Dave Burdick, to take 5 points of unity and carry them and represent them at the PNB. This means, basically, that we really need to get about one more lab on board, but that's another scenario. The proposal that I've got in front of us is not, in fact, the entire Unity proposal, nor is it the PAC proposal. Because I think the lab here is not fully conversant in either of those proposals, what I've done is boil out some key elements that I think we can all agree on without much discussion. Diversity requirements, that there be 50% membership from people who are of ethnic and racial minorities, and 50% women. Program committees, that we have meaningful and enforceable program committees, and I have the details here. That power goes to the station boards, and I enumerate 3 specific powers. That we have the network-wide bylaws convention in 1 year that was passed, and I'll be bringing up more details of that in a moment. And finally, that you can't sell off a station without a vote of membership. I don't think these are too controversial. We have in front of us, colleagues, listeners, a tremendous opportunity here to move forward with a vision of Pacifica and the bylaws that we've all agreed on. And I would like to urge you to support me in this endeavor. Thank you. And let me clarify, there are 2 furthers on the end of this that were not in the copy that got distributed earlier. One is that the IPNB pay reasonable expenses for 3 members of the bylaw subcommittees to represent the Unity proposal at the upcoming meetings, and that we request further representation at the national level because we're limited to 1 representative and the other stations have more. Admittedly, this would involve rewriting the terms of the settlement, but I would like this body to go on record that we have noticed that we're underrepresented.
Leslie, I have a question. My experience in Houston was that, well, right before that, as you know, I was at that convention, and there were certain points of unity to which I supported, and I committed to presenting those. I did not commit to the entire Unity proposal because I was I had read it, but I wasn't that familiar with it. There are things that I didn't personally necessarily support. But the reality on the floor in Houston was that there wasn't unity among the proponents and some of the key participants in that Unity proposal. So you're asking us to act in support of something that wasn't even a unified appearance in terms of how it was articulated was not exact. So can you address that?
Well, the proposals I have in front of you, the ones directly in front of you, are not the ones that were in contention on the floor among the members. These are ones that I believe are fairly well supported across the board. I have not extracted the exact wording of those more controversial or in dispute proposals. So
okay.
These are a bit more general, and I don't think anyone agrees with
that. Now, Tom, are these something that this is how you would articulate it through PAC, because you were part of the Unity, but you presented your proposal separately at national?
I have no problem with the ones that Leslie has articulated here. The reason that PAC presented separately.